Well, I want to pick up where we left off last night, and as we were concluding the message last night, I was talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit is going to want to do a work in your life to start the process of cleaning you up, and then after that, He'll move to starting, and He'll eventually ask you to do things for Him. And so I want us to consider tonight the Spirit's leadership, or the leading of the Spirit. If we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to direct us to do things, then what sort of things can we expect that the Holy Spirit will ask us to do, right? And we're going to look at the book of Acts. We're going to be in chapters 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10 tonight. We have a lot of ground to cover. We won't look at all those verses, but we will consider each one of those stories and what is taking place there as we look at what God would want to do in your life and how He wants to lead you through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So with that in mind, let's go to the Lord and ask Him for His help here this evening. Father, I want to thank You so much for the opportunity to stand and open Your Word again. Father, I pray tonight that You would fill me with Your Spirit, help me to know exactly how to communicate these truths. And Father, I pray that You would give us an idea of the things that You want to do in our life here tonight in this message. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your goodness to us. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. The first thing I want you to notice here is that the Holy Spirit will lead you to do things that you do not understand. The Holy Spirit, if you're taking notes, write this down. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do things that you will not understand. All right, Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. Acts chapter 8, verse number 26. The Bible says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now, this is very interesting because look back in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 5. The Bible says, "Then Philip went down to the," what's the next word? "City," right? "The city of Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them." Now, you can, in your own free time, read everything in between verse 5 and verse number 26. But let me just tell you what happens when Philip goes down to the city of Samaria, and he preaches Christ unto them. He goes down there, and man, I'm telling you, it is just an incredible scene. People are getting saved. There are miracles that are being performed. People are coming around from all over the place. People are being healed. It is just an amazing, amazing time. There are all these people that are getting saved. People are getting baptized, and you think, man, God is really moving in this city of Samaria, and Philip is there, and Philip was the instigator of it, and Philip was right in the center of it. Well, word got out, and others heard that God was doing a work there in Samaria, so people started coming down, and they were coming down to be able to help there at Samaria. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful time, and all of this is taking place, and the Holy Spirit, in verse number 26, comes to Philip, and he says, "Hey, I want you to go down to the desert." Does that make sense to you? Now, you probably know the rest of the story, so maybe it does make sense to you, all right? But Philip is in a city where there's a lot of people. He's been preaching Jesus Christ to those people. People have been getting saved, miracles, healing, all of this stuff that is taking place. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and he says to this same Philip, he says, "Look, I want you to go down to the desert." That must have been hard for Philip. He probably didn't understand. Why would I leave the city of Samaria where all of this, all of these wonderful things are taking place, and you are trying to get me to go out into the desert where, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know much about the desert. I did just drive through the desert, and there's just not much there. You know, maybe a tumbleweed here, a tumbleweed there, right? But there's nothing there. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do things that you will not understand. Now, but I want you to look what Philip does in verse number 27. So the angel of the Lord says, "I want you to leave where it seems like, you know, God is doing this wonderful work here in the city of Samaria, and I want you to go down to the desert." And in verse number 27, look what Philip does. It says, "And he arose and he went." Listen, when the Holy Spirit impresses upon you to do things and it doesn't necessarily make sense, you know what you ought to do? You ought to just obey the Holy Spirit. He knows what He is doing in your life, even if you do not know. Now, you know the rest of the story here. If you don't, let me just tell it to you quickly. All right, Philip goes down to the desert. When he gets down to the desert, he finds this chariot, this train of chariots that's going across the desert. And in one of those chariots is the Ethiopian eunuch. And he is reading the book of Isaiah. And he is reading Isaiah chapter number 53, which is a prophetic passage about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit then tells him, go near and join thyself to this chariot. But he still doesn't know that that's what's taking place inside, but that's what's taking place inside. See, the Holy Spirit knows that's what's going on inside that chariot. And so Philip goes near, and he gets near to that chariot, and then he finds the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch actually desired for Philip to come up and sit with him. And then Philip was able to open the scriptures right there and to teach him what it was saying. And then the Ethiopian eunuch gets saved. And then the Ethiopian eunuch gets baptized. Isn't that fascinating? It didn't make any sense. Why would he leave the city of Samaria where God is doing this great thing to go out here into the middle of the desert? Well, because the Holy Spirit of God had someone out there that he needed to minister to. And you know what I find? And can I just be honest with you tonight? I find this very annoying. Because there's something that's missing in verse number 26, right? Look at it in verse 26. It says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert, because there's an Ethiopian eunuch there who's going to be going across about the time that you're going to get there, and he's going to be reading Isaiah 53, and you're going to go up and you're going to talk to him, and he's going to get saved, and then you're going to baptize him, and then I'm going to catch you away, and you're going to go preach in other cities. See, is that what your Bible says in verse number 26? My Bible doesn't say that in verse 26. It just gives them the direction to go to the desert, and there's no why given. There's no explanation given. This is really annoying. Because God's going to tell you to do something, and you're not going to know why. And you're not going to be able to figure it out. But you're going to be absolutely convinced in your mind that that's what God wants you to do. And it's just not going to make any sense. Now, when God asks you to do something like that, and you're convinced of it, and you know that it is the Holy Spirit that's working in your life, and he's telling you to do something that doesn't make any sense, can I tell you what you need to do? Just do it. Okay? Because Philip obeyed, he met the Ethiopian eunuch. Because he met the Ethiopian eunuch, he was able to lead him to Christ. Because he led him to Christ, he baptized him. And then after he baptized him, he was sent away by the Spirit to preach in other cities. Can I tell you, if you talk to Philip on the other side of this equation, he would be able to tell you the why. He would be able to tell you. He'd explain it to you. Why God had him do the thing that he had him to do. But before, Philip won't know. And listen, God's going to ask you to do things. And you're not going to know. I'm thinking about Abraham over in Hebrews chapter number 11. Right? This is one of the most fascinating things to me in the world. Hebrews, the Bible says there about Abraham that he went out. The Lord told him to go out and seek a city. And the Bible says he went out not knowing whither he went. Does that bother anybody else but me? All right? I kind of like to know where I'm going. Maybe what I need to take to get there. Maybe how long it's going to take to get there. But he didn't know those things. He didn't know those details. And you know, you're not going to know things about what God's going to ask you to do. And you're not going to know details about what God is going to ask you to do. See, here's the thing. Here's what I think. I think that God is asking some of you maybe to go to Bible college. Maybe it's an ambassador. Maybe it's not an ambassador. I'm thinking that maybe God is asking some of you, all right, to go into full-time vocational ministry. And here's what you're thinking. Here's what you're thinking. Well, there is no way that I can see that it's possible for me to be able to pay for Bible college. I've checked out the tuition rates. It's just not possible. There is no way that it is going to work. And you don't know how God's going to provide for you to be able to get you to do whatever it is that God wants for you to do in your life. And listen to me, young people, you are never going to know how God provides for you unless you go. You never know. Listen, I'm an engineer. You guys know that about me. Engineers like to plan things. We like to know all the details. We are into all of those things, and we don't just make decisions not knowing how things are going to work out. Well, listen, when the Lord calls an engineer into ministry, he has to get along with God's plan, and it's going to grate against his last nerve all the time because he doesn't understand how things are going to work out, but he just does it because God's asking him to do it, and eventually he looks back and it's like, oh, that's how God's going to do it. It's taken me a long time, and I'm still working on learning this lesson. But I'll give you an example from our life. We're making some progress in evangelism, and we're moving in the direction, and we're starting to have some meetings, and had gotten to the point where it would have been very beneficial for my family and I for us to have an RV. Okay, so I'm in the ministry. I'm an evangelist. I'm making money as an evangelist, and I'm also a part-time engineer, and I'm making money that way, but there's just nothing left over, and we have absolutely zero money to be able to spend for an RV, okay? And so I did what I thought made sense to do. I got a third job so that I could pay for the trailer. But the Lord was saying, no, you need to go about this a little bit of a different direction. You just need to let people know. Well, I didn't want to let people know about the needs that we had. I thought I could provide for the needs that we had. I tried this for a number of while. I took on an extra job, and 4 or 5, 6 months later, I don't remember how long it was, I had actually had less money than it was when I started. It's interesting how things like this work. Listen to me, I remember breaking down. I could take you to the spot where I broke down. And I just cried out to God, and I said, God, I can't do it. If you want us to do ministry and you want us to do what you're asking me to do, I need your help. 3 weeks later, I bought a trailer with cash. It took me 6 months or 3 weeks. What I'm saying is when God asks you to do something, he has all the provision that's there for you. It's already there. He knows all the details. He's got it all worked out. But listen, if he told you about it, you wouldn't have to have any faith to do what it is that God is asking you to do. Philip had to have faith that there was a reason that he was going to the desert. By the way, Philip, I believe, had to have faith to go down to Samaria. God's going to ask you to do things you can't explain. God's going to ask you to do things that you do not understand. And friend, I want you to know that you will never understand unless you just obey what that God is asking you to do. And it's really exciting once you start to see this dynamic playing out in your life. All right, number two, the Holy Spirit will lead you to do hard things. You say, Brother Duke, this is not a very uplifting message. Well, I want it to be an honest message, right? Look in Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do hard things. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples and the Lord, went to the high priest. Boy, this sounds like a great guy, doesn't it? This is a guy that you'd want to go maybe hang out with and have a hamburger with and just cozy up with right on the couch and spend some time with Saul, who's breathing out threatenings and slaughter and is killing Christians. All right, that's verse number 1. Would you look down in verse number 10? Now, in between verse number 1 and verse number 10 is Saul's Damascus Road experience, all right? But down in verse number 10, the Bible says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. If there was ever anyone in the scriptures that I have felt sorry for, it's Ananias. Could you imagine there being some guy that's going around killing Christians, and the Holy Spirit comes to you and says, hey, got some great news for you. It's going to be wonderful. I want you to go over and I want you to cozy up with him and sit down with him. He's praying and I'm sending him over there. Man, I tell you what, that would be hard, wouldn't it? That would be hard. You know, Ananias didn't know how that was going to work out either. But you know what? That was a very hard thing. But you know what Ananias did eventually? Now he did argue with God for a little bit. Okay? And you can read about that in Acts chapter 9 sometime when you want. Okay? But look in verse number 17. The Bible says, "And Ananias went and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Well, I tell you what, that's pretty amazing, but I'm pretty glad I wasn't Ananias. Okay? Man, that's a hard thing. That's a hard thing. You may think that this illustration is interesting because it is nothing really compared with what the Lord asks Ananias to do here, with it being a hard thing. But I want to just give you an example from my life. I don't know, maybe you don't watch TV, and if you don't, then that's good. Don't start, all right? But I watch some TV, all right? And I was watching a show. And, you know, I watched the first season of the show, and the show was pretty good. It was clean. It was fine. But you know how it goes. Sometimes the first season's okay, and then the second season gets a little bit off, and then by the third season, you're like, what in the world has happened, right? Well, I don't remember which season I was in, but, you know, I was so into these characters, all right? I was totally hooked on this television show, okay? And I was into it, and I enjoyed watching the TV show. And again, it wasn't something that I shouldn't have been watching or anything like that, all right? And the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart and said, Dustin, you gotta give it up. You say, yeah, this is not the same as Ananias going to talk to Saul, right? Well, I know that, but can I tell you, for me, it was very hard. Because I really liked this TV show. And I was totally into the characters. Okay? And I argued with God a lot, like Ananias said. I'm like, God, it's not that big a deal. You know, and kind of going back and forth with God. Do you ever do that with God? Right? Listen, just skip it and just be obedient, okay? You don't really need to do all the arguing, all right? But I was arguing. And eventually, though, God was just, he wouldn't let me go. He's like, this TV show's got to go. And I remember, I was so disappointed. And I'm like, oh, you know, okay, God, if you really want me to give it up, then fine, you can have it. I thought I was going to be devastated, okay? I won't be able to know what happened to these characters. I wasn't going to be able to find out what happened in their lives. Like, a matter of weeks later, I couldn't even tell you the name of the show that it was. And today, literally, I have no idea what show it was. I have no idea who any of the characters were. I have no idea what the plot line was. Okay? But you know what? It was hard to give up. But it was something that had become maybe an idol in my life, something that was getting in the way, and the Holy Spirit said, hey, give it up. All right? Now, my daughter over here, Riley, is going to have a heart attack when I tell this next one, okay? So I don't know where's Caden. All right, Caden, you ready? Okay. He's the EMS guy, if you're wondering. Okay. I was preparing for this week and wanting to preach on the filling of the Holy Spirit. And can I be transparent with you tonight? I wasn't filled with the Spirit last week. There you go. Now you have it. All right. You know, there was something in my life that had gotten out of balance. And it wasn't anything bad. But the truth is, the Holy Spirit came and says, how can you preach to these kids? You got something in your life that shouldn't be there. And there's nothing sinful about it. You know what it was? Coca-Cola. You know, I could take a 2-liter of Coca-Cola and 5 hours later it'd be gone. Amen, right? Yeah, right. I love some Coca-Cola. Fries to go with it'd be even better, okay? But you know, one of the things, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit in your life is one of the ones later down the list is called temperance. And you know what temperance is? Self-control. You know what I didn't have? Well, I didn't have any. I didn't have any. And so God put his finger on something. And so, Riley, I haven't had a soda since, like, I don't remember, Friday, Saturday, something like that. And that's a big, big deal for me. Do you know what? I can't go back. And I'm petrified because I just told everybody. So now I actually can't go back. You know, that's kind of a hard thing for me. You don't know me, okay? It's kind of a hard thing. But God's going to ask you to do hard things, and he's going to ask you to do things that don't really make sense, and the best thing to do is just do it. I was sitting in a McDonald's one time over here in Boiling Springs, South Carolina. It's just on the other side of 74, just right down the road from here. And I was praying there, and I was eating. I was having a Coca-Cola. That was a long time ago, okay? All right. And I just asked the Lord, I said, you know, is there somebody in here that you could have me to talk to about you, that you'd have me witness to? And the Lord will ask you to do hard things. Sometimes if you pray like that, and then the Lord answers it and says yes, you think, oh, why did I pray that, you know? But the Lord singled out this table with two construction workers and said, those are the guys. And I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of other nice people in here that aren't construction workers and don't have mud all over their boots and clothes and all that maybe I could go talk to. But the Lord just said, nope, that's the table. That's who I want you to go talk to. And he'll ask you to do hard things. He may lay somebody on your heart, you see, and he may ask you to go speak to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't know what to do in this instance. I'm like, you know, when's the last time you were sitting in a fast food restaurant and somebody came up to you and witnessed to you? Yeah, it doesn't happen, does it? Well, that's what I was about to do. Well, you know, they were sitting over next to the drink machine, so I went over and I got myself some more Coca-Cola, right? And then I just walked by their table, and I stopped at their table, and they looked up at me, obviously, right? And I'm just standing there, and I'm like, hi. You guys hang out with me, I'll teach you some things, all right? And they just kept looking at me, and I said, well, I said, guys, you're not going to believe this. I was just sitting over there minding my own business, but the Lord's just really impressed upon my heart to come over and talk to you guys for a minute. Would you mind if I sat down? And one of the guys, well, his face lit up, and he got all excited, and the other guy was like, oh, like this, right? And so I sat down. And I'll make a long story short. The one guy was saved, the happy one, you know, and the other guy wasn't saved, okay? And he finally looked up at me in the conversation. He says, you are not going to believe this. I said, what am I not going to believe? He says, last night I spent 3 hours with this guy's pastor, and he was talking to me about how I needed to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then you're some stranger, and you come up and talk to me at the table at McDonald's about the fact that I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. It doesn't make any sense. And it's hard to do. But these are the things. These are the things that you are asking the Holy Spirit to do in your life to lead you, okay, to the places where He wants you to be. To lead you to do the things that He wants you to do. Third thing, the Holy Spirit will lead you to do uncomfortable things. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do uncomfortable things. All right, go to Acts chapter number 10, and we'll go down, and we'll look in verse number 19. Now, this is a story of Peter and Cornelius here. And I'll catch you up to the story, the beginning of the chapter. An angel of the Lord appears unto this guy by the name of Cornelius, and he has him send for Peter. And so they're in the process of sending for Peter, but in the process of sending for Peter, God's doing a work in Peter's life. And in verse number 19, it says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now look over in verse number 28. Now, Peter is a Jew, and Cornelius is a Gentile. And this was not supposed to be happening. And we're talking here about the Spirit will ask you to do things uncomfortable, all right? So look in verse number 28. So Peter gets up and he goes with these men that he didn't know, and they're taking him back to meet Cornelius, all right? And in verse number 28, he finally gets there, and he goes into the house, and in verse number 28, and he said unto them, ye know how it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. You know, he went into these people's house, and all the rules and regulations of his day said, you do not do this. As a Jew, you do not spend time with Gentiles. As a Jew, you do not go into a Gentile's house. As a Jew, you do not eat with a Gentile. Whatever you do, don't eat with them, all right? Now, after everything here plays out, and by the end of the chapter, Cornelius and a whole bunch of his friends get saved because Peter was obedient to the Holy Spirit, and he went and did something uncomfortable. But even afterwards, and Peter is coming back, look in chapter number 11, and in verse number 2, it says, when Peter was come back up to Jerusalem after all of this had taken place, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. They were fighting with him, saying, you, look in verse number 3, you went into men uncircumcised, and you ate with them. What are you thinking? Right? Can I just try to explain to you how uncomfortable of a situation the Holy Spirit put Paul in. This was not an easy thing for Peter to be able to do. It was extremely, extremely, extremely uncomfortable. But because he did it, he saw Cornelius get saved. He saw a whole bunch of other people get saved. And by the way, eventually the Jews would all come to realize that salvation was for the Gentiles as well. God's going to ask you to do uncomfortable things. God's calling some of you men in here to be preachers. And here's what you're thinking. There ain't no way. I can't get up on a stage in front of people. I cannot do that. Man, my knees would be knocking. I'd fall over. I'd pass out. There is no way. That is way too uncomfortable. All right? You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to turn to a passage quickly. I want you to understand who these people are that you read about in the Scriptures. Don't turn there. Just listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And Paul here is talking, okay? So he says this, he says verse number 1. He says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. You know what? That's a comfort to me as a preacher. Have you noticed how many things have been alliterated this week? Yeah, I can't do that, okay? But it's okay because preaching doesn't have to be with excellency of speech, you see? Paul goes on, for I determined not to know anything among you. And he goes down there. And then verse number 4, he says, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And then back up in verse number 3, he says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You know what? I used to think about the Apostle Paul, that Paul would just go in, man, and he'd just light a place up. Man, he'd preach, and everybody would be there to listen to him. And then I read that one day, and I'm like, you know what? When Paul preached, he was in weakness, and he was full of fear, and he was literally trembling. Hey, if God's calling you to preach, and you are full of fear and weakness and trembling, I say you're a lot like the Apostle Paul. And if Paul can do it, then so can you. Because when Paul preached, he depended upon the Holy Spirit of God. God's calling some of you ladies to teach. God's calling some of you ladies to do some different things. And you're thinking, there ain't no way that I'm going to do that. It's too uncomfortable. Well, if the Holy Spirit is calling you to do it, can I tell you what's eventually going to be comfortable for you? The very thing that you think is uncomfortable now. You can't see it, but if you'll submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, you'll eventually get to the point where you do understand. Some of you, maybe God's calling to be a foreign missionary somewhere in some foreign country. You think, man, it's going to be uncomfortable. Yeah. Maybe some of you, God is just working in your heart about being involved in your local church. I appreciated the special that was sung tonight. Maybe God is right in your case about just finding something to do in your local church, to sing in your church back home, to play an instrument, to exercise the talents that God has given to you, to find a role, to step it up and take it to the next notch in your local church, but you're just too nervous and that's uncomfortable. Well, listen, I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is going to push you out of your comfort zone. Listen, he doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He doesn't want me to stay where I'm at. He wants to push you. He wants to stretch you. And you know what? That's a good thing, isn't it? It's a good thing to be pushed. It's a good thing to be stretched. And just like God used Peter here, even though he asked him to do something extremely uncomfortable, after it was all said and done, I guarantee you that Peter was not upset that he did it. He was not upset that he went through that period of discomfort. He was thrilled that he had listened to the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. Fourth thing, and then I'm done tonight, all right? The Holy Spirit will lead you to do incredible things. The Holy Spirit will lead you to do incredible things. You say, what incredible things? Well, in Acts chapter number 8, God used Philip to lead the Ethiopian eunuch to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to my knowledge, to this day, the only nation on the continent of Africa that has a Christian heritage is the nation of Ethiopia. Friend, that's incredible. But you know what? It didn't make sense to Philip. But man, it's incredible. In Acts chapter number 9, Saul becomes Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament that you have, and planted churches all over the Roman Empire. You know what that is? That's incredible. And God used Ananias, and he asked him to do a hard thing, and he did it, and the entire world was changed. That's incredible, isn't it? Peter, it's pretty incredible. You and I preach about Acts chapter 10 for the rest of our lives, this big transition, the gospel making it to the Gentiles. Everyone being convinced of it. Cornelius getting saved. Cornelius' friends getting saved. That's incredible. It's incredible. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what Philip did. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what Ananias did. 2,000 years later, we're still talking about what Peter did. Why? Because they just obeyed what God was asking them to do. And I'm curious tonight what God is asking you to do. I'm curious. What incredible, but uncomfortable, and hard, and difficult to understand thing is it that God is asking for you to do? I sure don't know. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit knows each one of you. And I believe he's talking to you. And I am excited about what God wants to do in your life.